For some of you who may not know, my name's Andy or Andrew. Over the last few months, maybe longer, I've been sporadically teaching here for the regular service. I've been coming to the fellowship here since back in maybe 2006. And just recently, though, I started kind of filling in more to teaching. I think someone's Zoom is zooming. Hello. So I went through a few of the smaller epistles here at church, and now I've been in 1 Corinthians for a few months now. And it's not an every Sunday thing. It's kind of, you know, if there's an opening, maybe Pastor Drew went away, or just a time where, you know, he'll just give me a chance to teach. And one of the reasons I chose 1 Corinthians was that I really wanted to get more in depth into my knowledge of the spiritual gifts and how they work and how they apply in our lives. So today is basically, that's the main topic for chapters 12, 13, and 14. Today we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So a little review. We're reminded that the letter to the Corinthians is a corrective letter. So the church in Corinth, we learned, was like this small little isthmus that was a place where a lot of people traveled through. It separated two seas, and this is a place where you can imagine there was a lot of flesh, okay, a lot of sailors, traders, people. There was also like a big worship of Athena, who was a goddess of sexuality, and there were these prostitutes that would come down from the hilltop and take offerings for their goddess. Like, it was a real fleshly place, okay, and this was the state of the church in Corinth. Okay, so Paul was coming with this corrective letter. They didn't have like an Old Testament background. They didn't have any type of base. Like, so everything for them was new. The things of the flesh began to creep into the church, and we see that the devil throughout the Bible is a counterfeiter. Okay, we have God's version, and then the devil tries to do his version, right? So even in the garden, you know, he's questioning, did God really say that? Always coming back to the word, right? Did God really say that? Can you trust the word of God? So even the gifts of the spirit can be counterfeited by the flesh or demonic spirits, which can cause some of us to maybe not get into the gifts. All right, we don't want to get into it because people will say, I don't want to open myself up to that. I might be at the checkout line and Key Food, and I'll start speaking in tongues, and I won't be able to control myself, or I'll get pulled over because I'm slain in the spirit, and I can't have, I have too many points on my license. All right, but we're gonna learn this. The Spirit of God is not like that. Okay, but because of the abuse and misteaching and misapplication, we've kind of got maybe a bad idea about the Spirit and the things of the Holy Spirit, but they're really important. So we're going to get into that today. One counterfeit we see, let me see, is this on? Is in Acts 16. And now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So fortune telling is a counterfeit of prophecy. Okay. And I know there may be some of us who have in their before Jesus time may have went to fortune tellers. Okay. And what's scary is that the fortune teller might actually tell what's going to happen. So you're like, how is this possible? Like, but this girl was someone who was inspired and empowered by the devil to tell future things. And she was making a lot of money for these guys who owned her. She was a slave. Okay? And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." That sounds good, right? Like, well, that doesn't seem like a bad thing. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and then they did some jail time. So just because it may appear like this is something from God, when it's not God-inspired and the focus is not on Jesus, the girl was getting probably a lot of the focus, and she was drawing a lot of attention. So that's a good way to kind of take a look and see, is this from God or is this from the devil? The focus should be on God. The focus should be on Jesus. The focus shouldn't be on somebody who's performing in some way. So today, we're going to see the need for the gifts of the Spirit in order to have a healthy church body. Some churches teach that the gifts stopped. Okay, so I kind of mentioned a little bit, and maybe you're familiar with some of the sensational churches. Sensation with a C-E or S-E-N. But then there's a cessation, okay, a C-E-S, that believes that the gifts stopped. So they believe the gifts were only during the apostolic era because they needed a little extra help until the full canon of the Bible was given. And then now, you know, now that that's happened, we have the Bible, we don't need gifts anymore. Okay. So again, I have friends, I have a friend, he's a Baptist, pastor, and he was explaining to me why the gifts don't exist. Right. And I just don't read that in the Bible. And he had all these reasons and 40 years. And like, once you throw off 40 years, you're like, wait, 40 years, that's used in the Bible. He's like, 40 years is right here. And this is when the gifts stop. But biblically speaking, from, you know, just using scripture, the Bible doesn't back it up that the gifts stopped. So to fundamentalists, we're crazy, people who believe in the gifts of the Spirit. To the people that are big into the Spirit and abuse the gifts of the Spirit, we're crazy fundamentalists. The Bible says we're supposed to worship God in spirit and truth. So teaching sports, a big thing is balance. So where's the balance of both? Okay, and we've all been, or we've known people who may be out of balance, and you're like, why does this feel off? Why do I feel like this is something different, that this is not from God? And it could be somewhere along the way, it kind of got off balance. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:4-8 says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're going to have the gifts until Jesus comes back. That's what we have. And it's a gift. So do we earn a gift? Okay. Christmas coming up, right? We had some birthdays. All right. Gifts are not earned. They're a gift. Or else it would be something else. So God gives us this gift of the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he says he's going to give us a helper. And the helper is the Holy Spirit who lives in us. First, it was kind of next to us, getting us to accept Jesus. Then it lived in us. And then we become empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? And these gifts, they don't replace the Word of God. They just confirm the Word of God. So it's not like there's new revelations coming that we're reinventing things. It's the Holy Spirit comes to live in our life, and it starts to match up with the Bible. And when you start living by the Holy Spirit, you're going to see the Bible is just coming alive. This book written thousands of years ago, because it's alive. And in hearing about death yesterday, right? You know, we grieve together as a body when someone in our body is grieving. And it just kind of reminded and came to the thought that the body of Christ never dies. It just kind of replaces new people. So we feel super important, right? And I even think about this at my job, right? I've been teaching for 15 years in the DOE, and people that were teaching there, you know, even before me, 20, 30 years, it was like they feel like they have to stay there and teach forever because they're like, the school wouldn't exist if I wasn't here. And then they retire, and then people are like, no one even noticed. Like maybe one student might say, hey, whatever happened to Mista? And I'll be like, oh, they retired or they got sick. They don't teach her anymore. Like at the time, we think we're super important, but God would just raise up somebody else. The body of Christ never dies. The body of Christ is living. And we just are blessed for our time here to be a part of it until we're with him for eternity. So in church today, we might see an abuse by certain Pentecostal, charismatic churches. We might see another side of the lack of gifts in fundamental churches. So think about, if you don't believe in the gifts, then the discipling might be different, right? Like, Pastor Drew has been helping me to see what gift I have and how do I learn how to grow in that gift. But if there was no such gift, then the church becomes analytics. We must start this church here because there's 1 million middle-class people who identify as Christians. It must be Lord's will to move right here at this church because tithing will be at certain... It's like, where's the Spirit of God in that? I don't see the Bible look like that in any way, right? It was like Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to start a church here, and then he thought he had to go here, and then boom, the Bible said, you know, the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go there. Like, where's the Spirit of God when everything is just figured out? There's no faith, there's no leading of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, the things of God sometimes don't make sense, and it's just, that's just how it is. But then, we see the sensationalism. We see that all over TBN, right? And it's like embarrassing, because then we have to answer for this craziness we see on TV, and people are like, you know, I know Catherine's family calls Christians the Hallelujahs, right? And Hallelujah, saying Hallelujah is great, but the Catholics thought, for her family, is these people that are just hyper Pentecostal, hyper almost like out of control, and then don't forget to send them money. If you need a prayer cloth, please sign up to the newsletter. All right, you won't see any of that here. All right, and you should feel safe in a place where you don't feel manipulated or in any way like mentally like just messed with to follow Jesus. It's not sales. It's not coercion. This is the love of God. He's drawing you in with his love. It's not through some emotionalism. And emotionalism has crept into the church. And emotionalism is a way to control things. There's even, I believe, Hillsong. I was watching a video of how they prepare for their concerts. And everything is executed to the second. Music and lights. And they're like, you know, act a way that you just need, and everything is just rehearsed, and it just seems inauthentic. And then even the people involved, they become like, I don't know, they just get like, wow, this is worshiping God, and then where's their walk? And then you might hear things that, oh, this person fell to this or that, because it's like, where's the basics? Where's the spirit and truth? We have to have that balance. So we are, yeah, I guess you're going to have to click for me. All right, so if you see me going like this. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12:1, let me open us in prayer. Lord, thank you for today. Please help us to understand your word. Help us, God, to be able to apply your word. Lord, we know your Holy Spirit wrote this scripture, and we need your Holy Spirit to understand, God. Please, as we humbly seek you, God, please meet with us here and show us what you're trying to teach us today, God. Help us to also be empowered to apply these things. Give us a revelation, God, through your scriptures, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And this was something that I didn't know I was ignorant about. Well, I knew, and that's kind of why I got into it. And it was good to be reminded that we could sometimes be ignorant about the things of spiritual gifts. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant, okay? Ignorant means to not understand. So what happens is that most of us are ignorant of the gifts. Some of us have seen them abused. Maybe we're not familiar. And some of us might be scared of them, like the scary things of this spirit. But the things of God, they should never bring fear. The things of God should bring peace. So if we're fearful of some things, maybe they are not from God, or maybe we have to test it, right? Test all things. Through my walk as a Christian, I grew up Jewish. I became a Christian around the age of 23. And the first church I went into was a Pentecostal church in Astoria. And I heard the gospel there, right? And that was the first time I ever heard Jesus died for my sins. And it was powerful. And I cried. And I was just so thankful. And then I kept going to that church. And I remember there was one day where there was a pastor, and he was inviting people to the front, and he was laying hands on people and wiping them out. I don't know. So Catherine goes up there, and Catherine's sister, who's like 12 at the time, is like, he's going down the line, and then he's about to get Catherine, and her sister's like, no, not my sister. And then boom, this is when Catherine had a good back. Bam, she goes out, and it's like, wow, that must be from God. But it was like, you can manipulate a lot of things. Like, if everyone else is going down, most likely you're going to be going down. It's not something from God, okay? That you're not going to see that here, all right? That's not scriptural. That in no way glorifies Jesus. This is just emotionalism, and you're just kind of showing something, and then you expect to do it, all right? But these are bringing glory to people. This is not bringing glory to Jesus, all right? So those types of abuses can confuse things. So I remember then going to this church that Catherine told me about, right? And Wendy was there. And we were just going to Pastor Drew's house on Wednesday and reading the Bible. We were in the book of Romans. And we happened to be back in the book of Romans. This was back in 2005, 2006. And we're back we were in the book of Romans, and I was so skeptical. I was, you know, even though I accepted Jesus, I was skeptical. I was like, come on, like, I went to college, you know, like, I'm watching this guy, I'm listening to him, I'm listening for any grammatical errors, and I'm just like really, like, what's going on here? Like, is this real? You know, I'm looking at him. I'm like, is this guy for real? Is he fake? You know, I'm looking in his refrigerator. I'm watching everything, right? Like, and then I'm testing what he's saying. So I'm on the radio, and I'm listening to the radio station, and it was going through Romans as well. And I said, hey, this is what they're actually teaching. And then I started seeing my life change. And I started, like, went from a time of having no hope and being, you know, almost suicidal. What's the point of life? Just make money. It didn't seem to make sense. That's what kind of got me looking towards God. And then starting to have hope and love and joy and a peace. And I was like, wait, something's really happening. And it wasn't glory to Pastor Drew. It was glory to God. And that's the amazing part about any man or woman of God, is that they're just a vessel. And you're not going to look to that person and worship that person, because that person's going to let you down, right? And that's what happens. We're drawn to people, and people are going to let us down. And we're quick to say, that person's a hypocrite. And yeah, they are, because they're just a person. But when that person's able to point you to Jesus, the perfect one, then you have some power there. Now you could live off something. If you just draw to me, you follow me long enough, you're going to start doubting things, okay? If I could point you to Jesus, it's not that funny. If I could point you to Jesus, though, Jesus is the hope. Jesus is the life. And as my life starts to conform, right, then my son will see, my wife will see, my daughter will see. And things start matching up with the Bible. I can't just come up here on Sunday and just say these things. And if it's not matching up at home, it doesn't lack power. And that's in all our lives. We all are leaders in our own little life, right? Not that we are responsible for people's salvation. That's what's so beautiful about being in these scriptures. We know that one plants, another water, God does the increase. But when we live a life that follows the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is going to point out those things in our life to unbelievers saying, you see, this is real. You see, this is real. You see that? Follow that. Different, right? And all those things are going to start making sense. No glory to us, glory to God. And 1 Corinthians 2-3, you know that you were Gentiles. Gentiles in the Old Testament were a foreign nation, not worshiping the true God. In the New Testament, we see Jesus came for the Jew first and the Gentile. Carried away to these dumb idols. Dumb here is not speaking of like they're stupid, but I mean they are pretty dumb, the things that we used to be involved with. But really it means like unable to speak, unable to interact, however you were led. I was caught up in so many dumb idols before following Jesus that I thought were so important. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So there was something going on in the Corinthian church where people were speaking in tongues and people were translating, and they were demon possessed, and they were speaking bad about Jesus. So Paul is clarifying here, saying no one could be from God and actually put Jesus down. No one would call Jesus accursed. And no one says that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So taking it as face value, we know that when the Spirit is leading, Christ is glorified. Okay, so we just need to keep remembering that. When the Spirit is leading, Christ is glorified. If you guys are blessed in any way today, it's going to be because you are going to have a closer relationship to Jesus. Right? And then you know that was the Spirit of God. All right, it's not pastors, it's not dancers. Okay, if I could stream my heart out, but if Jesus isn't glorified, then who cares? All right, singers, right? I could hold a note for 10 minutes, right? Like there's even like a bet in the Super Bowl, how long the national anthem will last. All right, it doesn't matter how good the song is. If Jesus isn't glorified, it's not from him. Prophets, healers, any of this stuff. The Spirit of God is going to glorify Jesus. And someone saying Jesus doesn't make them a Christian. And that could be scary, and that could be confusing to some of us, because we'll hear the name of Jesus. Maybe we have coworkers or people in our lives, and they claim to be Christian, and they say Jesus, and they speak fluent Christianese, but then things don't match up. Okay? Anyone can learn how to speak Christianese. All right, but it's the Spirit of God living in our life, the changed person, the follower. Is Jesus Lord? All right, so Jesus is declared Lord by the Spirit. All right, and we learned earlier in Corinthians, one plants, another waters, but only God does the increase. That's the Spirit of God moving in us that will bring us to Jesus. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So God gives us gifts. He may give you one gift. He may give you two, three. Like, there's sometimes complementary gifts. Some of us may not know when they're in use. Like, there could be a time I'm teaching, right? And I'm just reading from the Word of God. And you swear that I must know something about your life, because you're like, how does he know? I was just going through that. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just the Spirit. And this has happened a few times where people have come up after, right? Or Pastor Drew will be teaching and people will be like, you know, I'm going through this. And that's not, you know, some fake stuff like the people that speak to the dead. And like, they do it like they have fake, like, you know, microphones, and they listen to people, and it's not that, all right? This is the Spirit of God knows what's going on in your life, and sometimes the person who's teaching will just start speaking things, and it just matches up, right? But still, test it, because remember, there is also a counterfeit of that as well. So test all things. So for years, I was caught up in so many of my old life sins that I wasn't really able to start walking in this newness of life. So there's going to be a maturity period in our walks where, you know, we just don't get saved, we accept Jesus, and all of our sins and old life just disappear, right? We're always going to have those temptations to do those old things. And if your walk's anything like my walk, God will politely say, you know, okay, it's your choice, and you could go back to those things, but you're going to see that it leads to just death. And that was my walk. So I would take a step forward, and then I'll say, well, maybe I could still do a little, and then it's just chaos, 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 relationships, no peace, and then, okay, I know I can't do that. And then I'm walking, like, oh, this is great, but I'm sure I could just do a little bit of this, and then it's just constant. And God's just trying to show us, no, we need to be sanctified, set apart. And as that happens, we'll start to grow in our Christianity, we start to grow with our relationship with God, we start to hear from Him more, because now we're not serving ourselves, we start serving Him, and then while we're walking in our ministry, gifts will start kind of showing up, and people, loved ones around us will start saying, you know, I think you might have a gift of this, or a gift of that, or maybe you should take a look, and things start to come together, and it's not just some crazy mystical thing where, like, I'm getting a message and I have to, like, this earpiece is really just a message, like, and God is just telling me. It's not really like that. You're just walking. It's simple. You're just walking and serving Jesus. And then these things just start happening, and it's the Spirit of God. It's not us. So we can see the relationship with the ministry and being active in the church. All right, we see that when we start stirring up good works, we start seeing those things just kind of pop off. All right, and a big thing is, you know, I was so scared to follow Jesus for a while. Like, I'm going to lose myself, you know, and even my coworkers, like, oh, you're not acting the same. Like, because maybe I'm not entertaining them the same way as I was before. Because if we were having a staff meeting, I was probably going to break out some jokes, maybe inappropriate jokes, or entertain them in some way as a former class clown. But they're like, you know, you're changing. And I'm just like, yeah, well, I have more peace now. Like, the house is in order more. I'm not looking to get people's, like, their respect, but like being a people pleaser. I'm not really here for you. I'm here for Jesus. And let me know when I could minister to you in some way. So things start changing, and I was scared of that. But whoever doesn't, you know, lose their life is not going to gain it. And it was such a blessing to lose my life, that old life, that I would try so many things to hide the hurt and the pain. You know, growing up, my parents, they both became serious drug addicts. And there was a lot of distrust that I had, a lot of rebuilding and things I had to learn because I was just constantly lied to, you know. What is this? Oh, it's nothing. Like, this crack pipe. You know, what is this needle for? Oh, it's nothing. You know, why are you falling asleep all the time? Why we have to walk home from your friend's house? Because you're too high to go home. Like, it was just being lied to and distrust. And being able to totally be kind of just rebuilt and transformed to learn what it is like. What's it like to be a father? What's it like to be a husband. I didn't learn these things. I learned some bad examples. And in it, there were some good examples too. But there's this whole transformation that happens. It's like, what was I holding on to this old life for so hard? Like, why am I so scared to just let Jesus take over? And God is calling all of us, right? If anyone's known me for these years, you've seen it. It's real. It's not something crazy. Like, it's just taking that step and having others before us to kind of see, like, hey, if he could do it, I could do it. And it's nothing crazy. It's just God wants to use our life for his glory. So gifts are given to help us do things that we can't do in our own strength. We can't do them in our own strength. That's what spiritual gifts are. So they're things that we can't do in our own strength. It's a supernatural thing that God meets with us to do. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the Spirit's revealed to us through these gifts to the profit of his church. Okay, we're supposed to all profit from these things. For to one, given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So, wisdom, and these things that we're learning, I'm giving you like an overview. Okay, like these verses, I'm sure when Pastor Drew gets, because we're in Romans, so then 1 Corinthians, when Pastor Drew teaches through these things, it will be great, because remember, we're not supposed to be ignorant of these things. These things will probably get more in depth. I'm giving just kind of overviews and hoping to kind of spark up some interest in these things. And, over time, even in our servants meeting, a lot of it's going through the spiritual gifts. All right. But wisdom would be the ability to supernaturally give an application to a problem. It's supernatural. Like things just, hey, this is your problem. And, you know, here's your solution, biblically speaking. Where the word of knowledge would be identifying that problem or issue. And then the word of wisdom comes with the application. So you could see how sometimes they could be given together. Maybe one person identifies the problem and then the other person will supernaturally give the wisdom. All right. But we're going to see it's a body. So it all works together. So I remember one time the word of knowledge came. I was walking in the park. I think I just shared this story. And there was a girl. She looked sad. And God just kept bringing my attention to her. And I would walk around. And I was like, no, it's not from you, God. And then I tried to ignore. And I said, okay, if she looks up next time I walk around. It was like a fleece, right? Like, if she looks up next time I walk around, then maybe I'll say something to her. So I come around again. And she looks up. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, okay. So I say, hey, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then I sit down next to her and I say, you know, maybe it's sometimes easier to talk to a stranger. Because this is also kind of matched up with faith, because in New York, I mean, unless you're I'm not the type of guy that like goes up to girls. And it wasn't that type of going up. But like going up to someone is like a big deal to me. I wasn't doing it. I needed faith to know that this was from God, right? So she goes, well, actually, I'm pregnant and I want to get rid of the baby. And we're actually going to meet with the doctor in a little bit to have an abortion. And I said, look, I don't know what your deal is. Okay. This is kind of weird, but God sent me to tell you he loves you and he has a plan for your life. And that's it. She's like, her face just dropped. She's like, I just went to church this past Sunday. And I felt like God was speaking to me. And I'm like, well, here he is. God said he loves you and he has a plan for your life. And I call Catherine. She calls the father of the baby. We all pray in the parking lot together. And she ended up keeping the baby. And I don't know what happened to them. But that was something that was just the word of knowledge, right? And it just happens. Like, it was just a gift that was given at that time for that moment. And there was no wisdom attached with it. Like, I just let her know the love of God. And God wants to use our lives, right? Here am I, send me. Where are those moments where we're just like, no, God, like, we don't want a blessing, right? God's will be done with or without us. We're just vessels. We're just tools. But what a blessing to be used by God. Like, I'm going to remember that and all these things that happen. And if I never just said yes, all these things are just messed up. And for what? Like, it just gets things in priorities the closer, the more that we're just obedient to what God wants to do. And he wants to use us. Sometimes this happens while preaching, could be talking with someone. Maybe this has happened to you where you just feel such wisdom. And like, I mean, God's just speaking through you and you're just making sense of scriptures that you don't even know, that you thought you didn't know. And then part of it is also getting them in. So, you know, you get the scriptures in and then God has you reciting scriptures. And I remember kind of knowing people that were Christians growing up in my walk and thinking, how do you guys know so much scripture? Like, how do you memorize all this? And it's like, wow. But then God starts bringing these things to remembrance and then it starts making sense. And now teaching, it's so cool. Like going through, when you teach, you have to really like get into it, right? And it's really cool. And then teaching this, and I'm teaching John on Fridays, and you see how the Bible just mixes in perfectly, and there's different authors and different times, but it's just like, and sometimes I'll forget what part I'm in because they just flow so well together. So this is not just something natural from studying or experience. So that's the difference between a spiritual gift. So this is wisdom and knowledge. Now, in verse 9 and 10 says, to another by the same spirit, of faith by the same spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same spirit. So there's a gift of faith that God will give us. Okay, we're all supposed to have faith, right? We have to have faith. But there's a gift of faith that God gives us, especially if we're going to take a big step for Him. Something that it's just like nothing makes sense as far as like analytically, but God is telling me to do this. This is a gift of faith, all right. And sometimes He'll do that to go with another gift that He's given us to apply, so they could complement each other. And then with healings, right? This one has been abused, and some would say that the gift of healings, it may come and go. Like, it could be a time where this person has a gift of healing and it was used, but as far as like someone, they just walk down the street and they're just bam, 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 heal. Like, biblically, it's just not really there. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. So miracles is the Greek word dunamis, which where we get our word dynamite. You can imagine explosive, right? So a miracle is when God intervenes in the normal operation of nature. So there's certain things that happen in nature, and then a miracle would be like something outside of nature. And it is a temporary event that goes against the normality of the universe. So finding a parking spot near the mall, that wouldn't be considered like a miracle. I mean, we'd be happy, right? But we can't like say, I must have the gift. This is a miracle. Queen Center, a spot right here. Yes, we could praise God for that. But as far as like having the gift of miracles, that would be a little different, right? Miracles are supernatural, beyond the natural. So there's no natural explanation. Like, how did this person not get like killed in this accident? Like, you know, or, you know, things like that. The point, though, of all these gifts, again, is special signs to testify of the God of the Bible. Okay? And that's the point. It's always to bring back the focus on God. It consists of more than just the gifts of healing, since healing is listed as a separate spiritual gift. So this can, you know, this healing is definitely a gift. We're going to get into that a little bit more. Now, it says, to another, discerning of spirits. Okay, now this slide here would help in regards of finding wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, there's a discerning of spirits. And this is the ability to know supernaturally if something is from God, or if someone is from God, or if someone is not from God. Like, they're just faking it. Again, we could all speak a certain way. We could speak Christianese. We could say whatever. But there's a discernment that comes. And a lot of times it might be given to church leadership, to a pastor, somebody who's coming in who's like, and this is one of the scary things. If you go to a church and you just started there, and this person's right away saying, hey, would you like to be assistant pastor? Like, that's a problem. Like, you don't even know this person's walk or anything about them. But maybe because things are out of order and other people in the body aren't stepping up to do what they're called to do, this pastor just so happy that someone has even read the Bible that they want to give him a position of leadership. And right away they're saying, hey, come join and come teach this. Like, you don't even know this person's life. They could have so many things going on. And if you put someone in front and their life is not backing it up, you could have just brought a whole bunch of people down. All right. So you have to have a certain discernment. And this is a spiritual gift to know, is this person from God? Is this person not from God? I remember one day going to Pastor Drew's house, and Pastor Drew was speaking about false prophets, and he was going in scripturally, bam, 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 right? And these two guys, well, they were saying some weird stuff. This is at his house. And they were like, yeah, when I go to Dunkin' Donuts, the Spirit of God is just with me. And then before I know it, the line is out the door because I was there and I blessed the place. And I'm like, I'm like, and I'm like somewhat new believer, and I'm just like, no. And then Pastor Drew is going through the scriptures, and as soon as Pastor Drew went to the bathroom, the guys were like, hey, we gotta go. You guys have a great pastor. See ya. Because like, they knew it wasn't a place where they could just get, like, do some hustle. So it's pretty cool to see these things at work. And it wasn't some like, you know, super emotional thing, but you know it. Like, yo, this guy, and like, when, if there's one of these guys in the mix, the sheep don't feel super comfortable grazing on the word of God. There's something off. Something, people are like, eh, you know, like, you don't, just something feels a little off, because you're just like, you're eating, you're trying to get the word of God in, but then you're also kind of looking over. I mean, and we've had through the years some wolves here, like guys that will take advantage, and we have to be on guard, right? And a shepherd, he's going to protect, right? Some guys like, yo, can I live at your house? Like, I don't even know you, man. Like, what do you mean? Like, this stuff has happened. Like, yo, I could just, like, have your car. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe, but like, could I think about it? And then, like, Pastor Drew will have a meeting with him. Like, I hear you're trying to live at people's houses. Like, we really need you to stop, okay? Like, we barely know you. And then, like, when he starts asking him questions, like, who's Jesus to you? And the guy's just like, I don't know. Who's it to you? Like, and it's like, what? So, we have to guard against that. And I'm actually going to finish up the scripture here, and then we're going to get back to it in a few weeks. But let me continue. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So the differing of tongues is the ability to speak different languages. Okay, this is not from learning. This is not from Rosetta Stone. This is the ability to supernaturally know another language, and then someone else having the ability to interpret. All right. So in Acts 2:2-12, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were, remember, so during this time was Passover, it was kind of a decree that you had to come to Jerusalem. So they had people, if you were a man, a Jewish man, so there were people from all different, like countries and stuff that were convening here. So this was kind of the setting going on at this time. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Basically, aren't these like guys from Galilee? I mean, I would say an example of Galilee we have today, but then that would be like offensive if someone's like, hey, I'm from Galilee of today. But imagine, you know, you're not your most learned people. These wouldn't be people that knew multiple language. Okay. So, and how is this that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who dwell in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? So the point of doing this was to bring people to the knowledge of God. This is a supernatural thing that people were just like, wow. And there could be some people here that might have the gift of tongues. Some of you might have the interpretation of tongues, or at some time may be used to have this, right? And then in future weeks, we're going to see how this kind of fits in the order of a church body. We're going to get more into the body, and we're going to get more into kind of just how this works together. But for sake of time and not to just belabor the point, we're going to stop here. But if anyone did want any prayer after the service is over, maybe you want to pray for what your gift is, or you want to pray to get back into ministry, or some struggle that's going on in your life. If you need prayer for anything, just stay after, and we'll pray for you. Okay? Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your scriptures, God. Help us, Lord, as we go through these scriptures to understand what you want to tell us. Help us to put away those old things and walk in this newness of life, God. We give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.